Fred Film Radio, Turin Film Festival, Italy.
Andrea Cerbi, Fred Film Radio from the Torino Film Festival, 35th edition, and I'm here, I'm very pleased to be here with Armando Iannucci, the director of The Death of Stalin. Good morning. Well, this interview would not be an interview but a declaration of love to your film, because I enjoyed it as much as I could.
Oh, excellent.
And because it's funny, clever, grotesque, and very modern. And it was taken from a graphic novel, is it?
Yes, a French graphic novel, yes.
A French graphic novel. So it's a French graphic novel about Stalin in Russia,
yes.
Spoken in English.
Directed by a Scottish Italian.
So it's kind of a It's kind of a global village.
Well, absolutely. And it's, you know, although it was about events in Russia, I'm making it in such a way that it feels relevant anywhere and to anybody. You know,
exactly.
we made it... filmed it last summer, pre-Donald Trump. But when we started showing it to people, people thought it was about Trump.
Everything actually seems to be about Trump.
Everything is about Trump. So
nowadays.
Yes, apologies for that. but it was really I wanted to look at the absurdity, but also, you know, the frightening nature of when democracy goes wrong. You know, we think democracy is there and is perfect and will stay permanently fixed.
And fixed and safe.
And if you take your eyes off it, it falls apart. My father came from Naples. He emigrated to Britain in 1950, and he never became a British citizen. And I said, why don't you become a British citizen? You can't vote until you become a... And he said, well, why should I vote? The last time I voted, Mussolini got in.
You know? So my vote is pointless.
So it just tells you, you know, democracy can go bad. You know?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And we are seeing it nowadays. Listen, how did you work on the adaptation of the graphic novel to a film?
Well, I wanted to keep to the spirit of the book that I saw, because as soon as I read it, I instantly thought, this is it. This is my next film. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to hold true to that spirit. The book is based an awful lot on true events that are absurd. You know, people just being so terrified, they don't know what to do. And in fact, Stalin, in the end, dying because he had terrified so many people, they didn't know whether to touch him, whether to see if he was all right. So I wanted to keep true to that. We compressed the events. Normally, in real life, the events took place over about 6 months. But for the purposes of a film, a drama with a beginning, a middle, and an end, we compressed them over the 10 days between Stalin falling ill and his funeral. And that's the backdrop for the big power struggle that goes on within the Kremlin as to who succeeds him. And whoever does, are they going to maintain the terror, or are they going to do something differently?
So you did a lot of research, yes, I believe.
Absolutely.
And I believe that you found even more grotesque and unbelievable real fact happened.
Little things like when, you know, people were so used to the roundups and the knocks on the door and people being taken off to the gulags that they had a little method to get ready for it, which is have a suitcase ready by the door. So if you're grabbed, you can grab the suitcase on your way out. Or put lots of layers of clothes on when you go to bed. So if you are woken up and taken away in the middle of the night to somewhere cold, you've got warm clothes. We discovered that Stalin's son, Vasily, was overpromoted in the Air Force and was in charge of the Air Force ice hockey team. And he lost it. He made them all go on a plane to Hungary in the middle of an ice storm. Plane crashed and he lost the hockey team. So rather than tell his father, he got his friends to form an ice hockey team who were dreadful.
Well, that scene is one of the... Well, all the film is really, really funny and entertaining. But that scene specifically works very well.
And it's all true. The stuff that people laugh at the most tends to be the true stuff.
Mm. Have you ever thought about the reaction in Russia?
Well, I'll be interested to see. I mean, we're all set to be distributed in Russia in February. Stalin is an ambiguous figure there. Mm-hmm. Some people still see him as the savior of the country in the 20th century, and others see him as this monster who was responsible for the death of millions. And officially, there is no line on Stalin. They say it's up to you to decide. So obviously, Stalin supporters within the Communist Party have said some things about the film, but they are not the official, they're not the distributor, they're not the cinemas. Mm. So we have every hope the film will be released. Be interesting to see what the reception is. Whenever I've shown it to people who grew up under Stalin or whose parents were affected, they say two things. They say it's very funny and it's very true.
Listen, you define your film as a comedy on hysteria.
Yes.
And how much of this hysteria you enlightened, how much was exactly like this? Or do you have to push forward to make it more funny
I kind of felt that what I wanted to do is the audience to feel that low level of unease throughout the film. And comedy helps with that, because comedy is all about anticipation, build-up, you know, the gag. So I played about in certain scenes with the joke developing slowly, so that over the course of 3 or 4 minutes, it takes its time before you then realize what the gag is going to be. But similarly, I had to balance it with the drama. There were serious scenes where I didn't want to put a joke in. And it's finding that balance. And people afterwards have told me that sometimes they go and see the film twice. The first time, it's very funny. And the second time, it's very tragic. And that's interesting.
Let's talk about the cast, which is enormous.
Yes.
I mean, you've chosen like a bunch of the greatest actors available now, all together in one film, which was kind of a good achievement. Was it difficult?
It wasn't difficult, but it was a slow process, because what I was trying to do... See, the Soviet Union then was a big empire with people from all sorts of different regions and countries and accents and dialects. And what I wanted to do was assemble a team who had a range of voices, but also a range of different acting traditions. So Steve Buscemi is a great film actor. Jeffrey Tambor is a great television comic actor. Michael Palin is a legend.
It's a legend.
Paul Whitehouse is very well known in the UK as a television actor. Simon Russell Beale, who plays the chief monster, Beria. Not well known in cinema, very well known in the UK on stage.
Mm-hmm.
He's a great Shakespearean theatre actor. Andrea Riseborough.
Oh, she's amazing.
She's a chameleon. Every film she does, she's very different. And I loved all that. I loved bringing people in who had different voices, different accents, but also different styles of performance.
Well, you made a great movie, actually. I told you already, I'm going to tell you all day long for weeks and weeks.
Excellent.
So the film has already been released in UK?
Yes, last month. Yes.
And how was it?
It's done very well. It's still going.
Very good.
We've stayed in the top 10 for the last 5 or 6 weeks.
So now it's going to be released all over Europe?
Italy is next. Italy is January.
Very good.
And then France and beyond in February. And then the US is March.
The March.
Yes.
Okay, so thanks very much, Armando Iannucci. Thank you for your movie, and thank you for having been with us, director of The Death of Stalin, which is in competition at the Torino Film Festival. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
I'm Angela Cerbi for Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.